FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 10/24/18. Hey, as always, be a part of the show and email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, are we in the midst of the long-awaited fourth quarter bull movement in gold, and is that going to lead to something else, or is it just going to be deja vu all over again? Well, best person to speak to I know is Director of Global Trading over at Kitco. I'm talking about Peter Hug, been on the show a number of times before. Welcome back, Peter.
It's a pleasure to be here, Kerry.
Hey, likewise. So looking at gold here, it shot up a little bit yesterday, then retraced. It's trading right now just around 1229 the ounce. And, you know, it looks like it's getting maybe a little toppy here. What's your take on its latest movements?
Well, we were looking back in early September prior to the Fed meeting where they raised rates a quarter point. We thought that the gold market would react similarly to the way it's reacted over the past four or five Fed rate hikes, which was an initial reaction slightly lower, which we saw just as the Fed announced their quarter point rise in September. We saw gold move down towards the 1180 level. We've been trading this market from a technical perspective for about 4 or 5 months now and been relatively successful. We suggested prior to the Fed announcement that you should buy the dip, looking for a pop in gold, which we got right after the second day after the Fed announcement in September. And then we started looking at technical levels, and what we were looking at was a break up through 1197 to confirm that we had some momentum in this market, which we got about the third week in September. And we remain constructive this market, again, from a technical perspective, as long as gold can hold the 1220 level, which we believe it will. We also believe we've seen the lows for 2018 back in late August, early September. So we're constructive this market for a number of reasons. Just looking at the not so much the weakness in the equity market, but just the turbulence in the equity market, we believe might cause the Fed to be a bit more careful about their rate movements in 2019. We think it's conceivable that they will move again in December. But that might also depend very much on the midterm elections, which most people are ignoring. If the Democrats pick up 4 or 5 seats, then you're going to have a lame duck presidency for the next 2 years, which could also hurt the stock market. But just the volatility in the stock market, I think, is enough to create an edge for people to have a position in the precious metals market. So that's one factor that I think is boding well in the short term for gold. The second thing is that there's, you know, some serious issues with Italy and their budgets. They made a proposal last night to the EU, which was rejected. So there is some possibilities that there could be some financial stress in the European system developing. You still have the Brexit issue that has not been resolved. You also have the geopolitical risks of North Korea, Iran. Those things have not gone away. And now you add the Saudi sort of debacle into the mix from a geopolitical perspective in the Middle East. So you have all these factors sort of coming together in a context where the Fed may not be as aggressive in 2019, which should be negative for the dollar, which gives us a constructive view of the gold market over the short term. By short term, I mean between now and, say, early spring 2019, we're constructive this market.
Okay, so when we look at the higher rates, generally that means an increase in bank lending, which eventually, within year and a half, leads to higher consumer prices. I hesitate to say inflation because there's different definitions, but higher consumer prices, higher gold prices. Do you think we're going to see anything like that now, Peter?
Well, you know, I mean, if you look at what Trump is doing with China, about 80% of the retail goods that are sold in the United States are manufactured in China. So, you know, he's proposing that as of January 1st, the tariffs are going to move from 10% to 25%. Mm-hmm. That is going to directly impact his base, you know, where these goods are sold and, you know, in the Walmarts of the world. His base is going to be infected with an increase in pricing. You've got energy prices that have also moved higher over the past 3 or 4 months, albeit that there's been a bit of a retracement over the past 2 days. So, you know, all of this feeds into higher consumer prices. And, you know, that is definitely going to have an impact on the economy. In my opinion, it's going to slow the economy to some extent, which again will create a situation where the Fed takes its foot off the pedal. That should be negative for the dollar because the EU is expected to begin tightening in early 2019. So we could have the Fed easing off on a tightening policy just as the EU is tightening, which should be negative for the dollar, again, then positive for the precious metals.
Ah, okay. So interesting. And yeah, the so-called trade war, my gut feel on it, and I've been right on these trade issues, every single one up to now, is there will be a face-saving concurrence, maybe not so much as an agreement, but just an agreement to agree on several important issues and sweep the rest of them under the rug. And because, you know, Asians, it's all about saving face. Mm-hmm. And so something will come about because, you know, already Xi is looking kind of dumb because they put a 25% tariff on soybeans, which is essential for China to feed its growing population because it's used to feed hogs and cows. And then they found out there wasn't enough surplus soybeans in the rest of the world. They had to come back to the U.S. I think there's a lot of other markets like that that China's messing around with that will back them into a corner. So they're going to have to settle this sooner rather than later, or it's going to be a major loss of face. And when Asian leaders lose face, they lose power.
I agree with you. I'm not suggesting that this is going to get out of hand, that there probably is going to be a resolution. I don't think Trump is going to negotiate, you know, anything on that level until, unless the Chinese came and capitulated prior to the midterm elections. But again, you know, Trump wants to do a middle class tax cut. You know, he still is working on the immigration policies. Now, all of those things are going to be a moot point if he does not have a majority. So these midterm elections are a lot more important than people are giving them credit for. So that's where my focus is over at least the next 2 or 3 weeks to see how that plays out.
Yeah. And my guess is, looking into my crystal ball, and I will take credit that I was one of a handful of people who predicted Trump's triumph. I don't think anything's going to change hands, but you don't know because it comes down to a few races that nobody knows the outcome to and that are impossible to poll. But since October is National Lie to Your Pollster Month here in the States, I can pretty much tell you, like, when people say they're 18, 20% undecided, that means they just don't want to tell the pollsters what they're really thinking. And right. The reason why, well, there's so many reasons, Peter, but I don't want to get off of gold here. But but basically, nobody trusts anybody anymore, especially in the political arena. And why my opinion is actually worth something. It's data, and that's what feeds the machine. So I'm not going to share my data with any pollster. And the hell with you all. Or if I do, I'll lie so that you'll have worse than data is bad data, because then you get, you know, garbage in, garbage out. But anyway, getting away from that, assuming things continue the way they are, it's still a bullish case for gold, isn't it?
Again, I mean, if you're in the camp that believes that this U.S. economy really does have the legs, and, you know, the Fed normalizing interest rates is consistent with a stronger economy, if you believe that, then, you know, gold should be part of your portfolio, but then strictly from a perspective of as a hedge against the balance of your portfolio. But you have to look at the other side of the coin. As the Fed raises interest rates, I mean, just this year, there's been $800 billion added to the budget deficit. Mm-hmm. They expect in the first 2 years of Trump's administration, when it's complete, it'll be almost $2 trillion added to the budget deficit. Now, in the past 8 years, that's been all okay. Well, it's not okay to increase your budget deficit by $2 trillion a year. But the issue was that the interest on that budget deficit was at zero rates. You know, now we're starting to look at rates, you know, on the 10-year at, 3.25 points. So as this debt matures, the carry cost on this debt is going to increase incrementally, which will also increase the debt. You have a consumer debt increasing. You have the housing market starting to take it on the nose. All of that indicates to me that this economy is precarious at best going forward. And in that context, I would argue that it is more likely that the Fed will be less aggressive in 2019 than is currently priced into the market. And on that basis, I continue to be constructive of the gold market.
Hey, and, you know, we're not even talking about Illinois, Kentucky. These states are going bust. They're not going to be able to pay for your retiree health care, the retiree health, and not to mention the pensions. The pensions in these states are bust. New Jersey pensions bust. And we're kind of reaching a day of reckoning here, and nobody's addressing these issues besides what you talk about with the debt. So even if we assume that the deficit doesn't matter, right? Even if we were to believe that, certainly a couple million pensioners taking big hits in Illinois, Kentucky, and New Jersey, which is just a few years down the road, certainly that's something major, isn't it?
I think it is. I mean, I do believe that a day of reckoning is coming. And the question is, you know, whether they just continue to print and, you know, push the ball down the road a little further, you know, until the baby boomers sort of get retired and, you know, get themselves all set up. But I mean, the generation behind the baby boomers, I mean, not something I'd be looking forward to if I were in my, 20s, 30s, and 40s right now looking forward. So, you know, it's conceivable. Again, nobody has the political will to push the retirement age from 65 to 70 before you get Social Security, just to mitigate some of the damage in the funding risks that the government has. Nobody has the political will to do that. So they're just going to keep spending. And eventually that is going to debase the dollar substantially. And you're going to have a run on the dollar. And that'll be the next sort of major bullish upcycle in gold, whether it takes out 1900, which I think is highly likely. I don't think it's an immediate thing, but I do think it's coming. And I think it'll be with us within the next 2 or 3 years. I think we're going to be in a situation where, the gold price right now is going to look extremely cheap.
Yeah. At some point, all these things are going to converge, right? I mean, it's amazing that it hasn't already, that they've been able to kick the can down the road. And this is all of Western civilization. Every Western country is facing a similar dilemma, a similar situation where there's not going to be any easy way out, where you're going to basically have to say no to millions of people, where you're going to have to basically go back on your promises to millions of people. And that's going to be bad, not just for currencies, but for world stability as well.
Well, you're seeing that in the various elections, especially in Europe. You're seeing these right-wing parties are taking more and more power and more control. The populist movements in Europe are growing. I mean, similar to what they looked like in the 30s. Again, I'm not suggesting that we're looking at a 30s type of scenario from a leadership perspective in Europe, but the populist movement in Europe is growing again, exponentially. And you're going to start to see some of that pushback in North America coming soon. So from a social perspective, yeah, I do have some serious concerns about what the social fabric is going to look like over the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. And all of that paints a real negative picture for the status quo, and is probably favorable towards gold. So, you know, the question is, when do you jump in? And is it now? Do you do a program over time? What about the concept of paper, buying mining stocks, paper gold? I mean, where do you come down on all that?
Well, you know, again, it really depends on your confidence in the system. There's a relatively large segment of investors that don't trust the system at all, and in that context, their only option really is to buy physical gold. If I were buying physical gold, I would buy something that is liquid, but also not liquid only from a domestic perspective, but liquid from an international perspective. And I'm not touting the Royal Canadian Mint Gold Maple Leaf over the American Eagle, but I just wanted to just give you some, just sort of a basic understanding. You know, an American Gold Eagle is 1 ounce of gold, but it's also a 22 karat coin. It's not four nines pure like the Buffalo or the Royal Canadian Mint Maple Leaf is. And the reason I prefer the four nines coins, whether it's the Buffalo or the RCM Maple, is that from a perspective of international liquidity, it's a much better investment than the American Eagle. And I'll tell you why. In Canada, American Eagles, because they're 22 karat gold, same as the Krugerrand, they are a taxable item from a perspective of people buying that product. So dealers are not aggressively bidding for that product when clients are selling them. So you don't have the same liquidity in Canada on an Eagle that you would on a Buffalo or on a Maple Leaf. Also, the Chinese, well, you cannot give the Chinese a gold Eagle because they are not interested in a 22 karat coin. They want a four nines gold coin. Mm-hmm. So they gravitate towards the Maple Leaf, the Australian Kangaroo, the British Britannica, and the Buffalo. They tend to go for four nines gold coins. Right. So if you're going to buy a gold coin, first of all, the four nines gold coins are cheaper than the Eagle. The Eagle trades at an acquisition cost of 3%, which is about $36 at today's market, whereas the Maple Leaf is at an acquisition cost of about $20. So you can enter the market cheaper, and you also have a coin that has international liquidity, which may be viable if somewhere down the road you decide that I've had enough, I need to leave, and you want to take something that's portable but is also not discounted in the international markets. So in that context, I would for people that are thinking that way, that don't trust the system, if you're going to buy coins, that would be my advice there. If you are still relatively comfortable with the position and you're looking at buying gold as a hedge in your portfolio and you don't have an issue with buying it in the form of a mining stock, I would suggest that the investors consider the streaming producers such as Wheaton Gold and Franco-Nevada that have interests in a variety of properties, and they get royalties on all these properties. So you're getting a dividend, you're getting extremely good management, and you're getting mining stocks that are a much purer play relative to the price of the underlying asset. Now, you can hit home runs in the junior mining sector, but you're really taking a big risk there. My rule of thumb is you buy 10 juniors, you can expect 8 of them to go bankrupt, and maybe you'll get a home run on 2 of them. Because most of these, I tend to stay away from juniors unless they're producing, they're actual producing and bringing gold out of the ground. Because all they're doing is they're basically raising money. They're saying, well, you know, we're next to a great gold discovery. We're going to do this. But it takes millions and millions of dollars before you get into production. So these companies tend to dilute their shares by issuing more share capital to raise more money. Management tends to be more cowboyish, not mature, mature metals CEOs. So there, that is strictly speculation. I'm not saying that some of them aren't going to make you a lot of money, but again, it's really a hit and miss on those. So if you're going to be in the equity space, I would recommend you look at the streaming mine producers, such as a Wheaton Gold or a Franco Nevada.
Yeah, and I have to disclose up front that Sandstorm Gold Royalty is a sponsor of this show. But it is a company that I really like. I mean, the streamers, without the ones that are unladen with a lot of debt, which is the top four or so, really, it seems like it's impossible to go wrong on them, Peter.
Yeah, I like them because, first of all, I'm constructive the market, but secondly, I like the management. Yeah. And I like the fact that I'm getting a dividend from these players, as opposed to, again, doing a junior, you can take a shot and if you get lucky, you know, you can triple, quadruple your money. But really, I like my odds better at a casino.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that's true. Vancouver, it's the boulevard of broken dreams there. But the streaming companies, they really have figured out how to get all the benefits of mining with none of the risks, or very few of them. And the ones that have really executed it well have become multi-billion-dollar players and continue to grow. So I go with you there. Low-risk way to do it. You might not participate as much on the upside as some of these juniors, but it takes a little bit of the cyclicality out of that sector when you're dealing with the streaming companies. Hey, well, that's it for now. Peter, we're really happy checked in with you and given us your up-to-date view on the markets here. Hey, we didn't even talk about the stock market and how extended that rally is. I mean, the rally's, it's 10 years now, Peter. I mean, how much longer can a bull market in stocks go on? I guess we're going to find out.
Again, now on the equity side, I mean, now you've got to strictly look at fundamentals. I mean, before it was just free money. I mean, at zero interest.
Yeah.
Companies were borrowing at zero and they were buying stock back with the money. I mean, it was a free ride. And, now we're back to fundamentals and earnings. And you can see how the stock market is rewarding and punishing companies. You miss your earnings projection and you get hammered. Yeah, and if you come in above, then you're going to do well. And, now we're getting into a more fundamentally driven stock market where value is something that's more important than just a free ride on zero money. So
yeah,
it's going to become much more difficult to get your 15-20% returns in the stock market, because now you're going to have to do your homework and really analyze companies that have positive cash flow and that are meeting their expectations on their earnings side and not just having their stock increase because they're doing buybacks, at zero cost. That was all just kind of fluff. And the market's done extremely well, but now we're in the reality of, show me the money before I buy your stock. So it's going to become a little bit more difficult to make the kind of returns that this market has seen over the past 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, and you have to look at everything has been priced in for perfection. That's what you're saying. When Trump was elected and the market started galloping ahead, everything, it's kind of like his election. He only had one way to win it, and he managed to win it. And then with the economy, it's the same thing. Tax cuts, decrease of regulation, and better market conditions, tariffs definitely help those domestic producers increase their profits at the expense of the general public. But I don't want to get into a trade discussion with you now because not really relevant, but just something to keep in mind. So, yes, it's become a stock picker's market, I think. I think you're correct there. And not that many people can do it that well. Otherwise, we'd all be millionaires, let's face it. So, anyways, find Peter's work over at kitco.com. That's the go-to site for all metals, prices, currencies. I can't even tell you how many times a day I look at the app on my phone, Peter. It's embarrassing. I hope you're not tracking me with cookies or whatever, because you'll see that I've got a bit of an obsessive personality. But anyways, hey, questions for Peter, myself? The email address is kl@kerrylutz.com, Twitter feed @KerryLutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Peter, we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks. Been a pleasure, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.